watched The Marine. Oh gosh, I watched almost. Oh my gosh, what did I watch? It was so bad and I couldn't turn away. It was called Hell Up in Harlem last night.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sequel to Black Caesar, which was, it's a blaxploitation film from the 70s.
Uh-huh.
I had never really watched a blaxploitation film all the way through. Like a really bad one. I've seen like Shaft and stuff.
Yeah.
Those are well produced. Those are like,
and that part with the Lawrence helicopter at the end is awesome.
That's like watching Dr. Zhivago.
Have you seen Coffee?
I haven't seen Coffee.
I think I've seen like the last third of it.
And The Human Tornado, which is one of those, gosh, what was that guy's name? Rudy something. Anyway, in this movie, the star is, I guess I could look it up, but he had the biggest head of anyone I've ever seen. You know those scenes in Live and Let Die where Yaphet Kotto has on the Mr. Big mask?
Okay.
He plays Mr. Big, and his head looks five times as big because they put on like a fake fro, and there's so much like makeup mask that his face looks this much wider and his chin is this much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And his head ends up looking like a giant, like a dark helmet head, you know, like that. And so anyway, the main guy in Black Caesar and Hell Up in Harlem, his head is literally that big. There's scenes where he's talking to other black guys who are pretty big guys,
mm-hmm.
and their heads look like this, and his head is like this big, and his jaw juts out so far. Oh, it's awful. And every time anything happens in the movie, there's some music where some black guy wails what's going on. Like, seriously, like he like describes what's happening in montages and stuff. Like
now he's walking to the store, gonna get a pack of cigarettes.
This one part, he walks into this really, really, really poorly lit church. Like they shined a flashlight against mm-hmm. the wall, and he's like, "Hey, what's going on?" And the pastor goes, "Get out of here, you devil!" And he goes, "I brought this check for $5,000. You know, I just want the church to know that
I'm going to give some."
And this girl in there, she goes, "How dare you, sir?" And but she goes, "I'll take the check, though, because, you know, there's, like, she seems really upset that this gangster is in there." And she's like, "But this will help a lot of people, so I'll take it." And then he goes, "Well, maybe I'll be seeing you later." And he walks out. And then it cuts to him walking down the street, and she's like glaring at him anyway. And then it cuts to him walking down the street, and you hear in a voiceover, she goes, "Maybe I would like to be your friend." And then it shows them like having sex and like walking down the streets. Like it completely skips any story and just goes to like, and it's filmed so poorly. And then like during that time, like her name was like, you hear it for the first time. He's like, "What's your name?" She's like, "Rebecca." Then this music goes, "Rebecca, Rebecca, Rebecca, Rebecca." Was so bad. Hell Up in Harlem. And his dad was in one of the guys in Live and Let Die, the guy with the hook arm.
The hook arm.
He played his dad, and he was called, he called him Big Daddy. And his dad, he was like the head of the crime organization, and then Black Caesar was like the real guy, but his dad was up there. And so there's this scene where he leaves and goes to LA, and then Big Daddy goes, "Well, we're going to run things my way now, the Big Daddy way." And then it shows a montage of them shooting people, and the music goes, "Big Daddy, Big, Big Daddy, Big Daddy, yeah, Big Daddy."
I wonder if they referenced that in Gungrave
from
the guy that was running the Millennium Organization.
Fred Williamson. Fred Williamson is the main guy.
Cool. Welcome to the Feudal Podcast once more.
Today we're going to name Micah. Everyone. Urban films are when you go to the worst part, most hellish, worst part of any city in the world. What do you find there? Black people. They're everywhere. That's an urban film. So,
they're everywhere in the worst part.
In the worst part. Not because they chose to be there, but because Ronald Reagan put them there. Am I right? He sold them crack. He gave
Reagan's
them AIDS.
Like the greatest Republican ever, right?
He did a lot. He did a lot for everyone. He invaded Grenada. We got out a couple of reporters who said they were being held there. They're like, "We were just kidding." They like brought all the Marines and they like shot the place to hell.
Serves him right.
Gosh, well, I was talking about Hell Up in Harlem. That really has nothing to do with these movies I want to talk about. It's just so
it's
bad.
It's urban, right?
It was really bad, man. I missed the first 20 minutes of it, too.
It sounds awesome.
I'm going to keep talking about Hell Up in Harlem. Okay, so here's what happens to the rest of this. So his head is huge, right? And then during that montage of when he... Yeah, Big Daddy, big... And then Big Daddy's right-hand man is this guy who's like his hitman, right? Mm. And the budget was so low that, like, even in the lowest budget films, they have a budget for squibs when they shoot somebody. What happened to this was, they show them, and they would shoot their guns. No fire or anything comes out. And then there's a Foley sound of a gunfire. It's like somebody going... And it shows guys
like
going,
ricochets.
Yeah, like ricochets and like gunfire sounds. It's like somebody made the gunfire sounds with their mouths. And you don't. There's no spit of fire out the other gun. The guys are going like this, like jabbing with their.
Why
guns.
Do they always go forward? Why don't they go like back?
They're jabbing with their guns to shoot. There's this part where the guy's walking up the stairs with his wife. The girl that you know is his wife now because right after the sex scene, it shows them.
They got married.
It shows him with a kid on his leg, and it goes 3 years later. it just jumps there for no reason, and he's walking up the stairs in this like mansion, and suddenly this guy runs in and starts shooting at him, right? And you can tell he's shooting at him because they actually have squibs in the wall that are like shooting out the wall.
Nice.
And so he's standing like in the corner of the wall, and then the bullet holes that come up the wall like 20 feet away from him, like these guys who are shooting at him are going like. Like in circles and stuff.
Like trying to write his name
totally
or something.
I guess. And then he's going like this, jabbing at them. And then you hear gunfire Foley sounds that they put in later, like they're clapping or whatever. And then the guys go like this, and then they fall. And then it cuts to a close-up of them, and there's like, they drop some like pink paint on them, right? To make it look like they got shot. So this guy, anyway, Big Daddy gets killed. He has a fight with the right hand man who ends up pushing him out because there's some white guys who want to, mix with a white man. And Fred Williamson didn't want to because he wants to keep this pure and he wants to help the black people by being a terrible gangster.
Yeah.
And so Big Daddy and the right hand man, whose name is like Zebediah or something like that, they end up having this fight on the docks, right? And they're punching each other out, and they're kicking each other and hitting each other with wrenches. And there's all these other black guys that are the right-hand men of Zebediah. And he goes like, that's not his name, I'll look it up.
The right-hand man has right-hand men.
Oh, his name was Zach, apparently. Okay.
Not
so,
Zebediah.
So,
I feel so betrayed.
So, anyway, as they're fighting, Big Daddy suddenly goes like this.
He had a heart attack.
His eyes open so wide, and he grabs himself really hard. And he falls over, and his heart attack lasts like 3 seconds because he goes, "Oh!" and then he's dead. And so then, anyway, it shows Zach in the car with these two white mobster guys, and he goes, "Yeah, we did it. Now I own all the crime in New York." Yeah, and the white guy goes, "Yeah, now we just need to get Black Caesar out of the way." And he goes, "Oh hell, he's in Hollywood. What's he gonna do to us?" And they're like, "Well, we want to kill him." And he's like, "All right." So they send some guys out to kill him, and that's the part where he like. Like 25 guys come into this room one after another trying to shoot him in that like up on the balcony, and they keep missing, and he kills all of them. and then like some guy gets shot right next to his wife, and like blood splatters. They don't show blood splatter on her, but then like they cut to it later, and there's like blood all over, and she's like, "Oh, is it mine? Oh." And he's like, so here's what it cuts to. It cuts to him going back to New York. He goes, "I'm gonna go back to New York and find out who killed Big Daddy." And then it cuts to him there, and then it cuts to Zach in the car with the two white guys again, and they explain what happened. They go, "Yeah, so his wife left him." So his wife left him.
They don't sing this part?
No. And he's like, so he's coming back for revenge, right? And he's gonna try to kill us all. So we need to kill his son. And the black guy goes, "I don't kill no kids, man." And they go, "Well, we'll kill him."
It's
then.
Like in Scarface.
Kind
women
of.
Want
yeah, exactly, exactly.
Now look at you. You're all fucked up.
Yeah. And so then it cuts to Fred Williamson climbing up this really, really long ladder that goes up to a huge billboard in Times Square. And there's a voiceover while he's climbing. He climbs so slow. They could have got a stuntman who could climb faster. But he, like, puts one foot on. And he, like, looks around. And, like, he's got a huge, like... like baseball bat bag on his shoulder, which obviously has a gun on it. Mm-hmm. He walked through the streets of New York, this huge black guy with a gigantic helmet head, and climbed up this ladder with it. And so anyway, he gets up at the top, and he doesn't set up like a sniper. Like, he kind of balances on a knee, and he's like shaking back and forth. And two of the mobsters are like walking across the street, and he like he picks the one guy's head. He just falls over. They make a noise like, like with their mouths, and then the guy just falls over. And it cuts to a close up of like pink paint on his head. And so then anyway, he goes into total revenge mode, and he goes, they shouldn't mess with me.
Did they kill his kid or what?
No, they never went back to that.
They killed Big Daddy.
Big Daddy was dead a long time ago, man. You're not following me.
Okay.
So then then he goes to this. He decides to go into total revenge mode. Suddenly, he has an AK-47, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up at the docks because that's where Zach's base is. And there's for some reason all Zach's base men are white. I don't know what that means, but he kills all white
because
guys.
Because he mixed basically. With a white guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, because he joined forces. He made an unholy allegiance.
He runs in there, and all these guys are shooting at him, and they're all trying to kill him, and he kills them all one by one. And I think this was the precursor to Steven Seagal films. It had to be. Because everyone shoots at him, everyone misses, and he kills them all with this.
Somebody want to be on the podcast?
With this AK.
Blaine just got a call from his broker. He's day trading, and the Hong Kong market's just opened, I think.
It's
so, did you want to talk about some good movies in this subgenre, or whatever you want to call it, that will fit this category?
Well, the blaxploitation is totally different from the urban.
Okay, well, let's talk about the urban thing, then. I've seen Boys Know It. I've seen seen Higher Learning. Those are two John Singleton films.
Higher Learning is really trite.
Parts of the original Shaft.
Higher Learning is really trite.
You do get to see what's her name get shot and cough up blood. It's really violent.
Yeah, Tyra Banks. Yeah.
What about Don't Be a Menace to Society while drinking your juice in your hood?
Right. Don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
That's right. That's right. My bad.
Yeah, that's not very good. Neither is I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. I used to think that was really funny when I was a kid, but it's not. The thing about those movies is they end up being... they carry all the weight of something like Godfather, those other crime films, but it's put in about the smallest possible world, which is, like, usually some young guy, his really close group of a few friends... A couple of parents like that talk to him, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
It's a really small, insular world. And these are like, I think that's why some people can, you know, John Singleton made a pretty good drama in Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
With very little money. It didn't take much. You just shoot in the hood. And they used, you know, there's some good actors in it. And then there's Ice Cube. And
you had Lawrence Fishburne. You had Cuba Gooding Jr.
Lawrence Fishburne, who was like supposed to be 15 years older than or something like that. Like, he'd had him at a really young age. And Angela Bassett, I think, is his mom. And,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was sick, so I was sleeping always.
Who are you talking to?
It's the same as every time.
Maybe you should go outside and have that conversation
for a little
bit.
Well, I just don't know how well it's going
to.
Now, this thing picks up ambience, you know? And then you had... I thought Ice Cube was pretty good as Doughboy.
No, he was good in that. He just has played the same... like. People thought, you know, it was good that he was able to play that sort of person. And now it's become this thing where all he can play is the sneering, snarling black guy. I was flipping around the Western Channel, and I finally decided to watch Posse.
Okay.
Posse is so awful.
Mario Van Peebles, solo himself.
Yeah. Like, nothing Van Peebles has ever made has been good except for Badass, which is...
Highlander 3.
I'm talking about that he's, like, directed. Because he directed Posse. Like, he's, you know, the only way he gets stuff made is, like... I'll raise the money, I'll direct it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you can make your black cowboy film. You know? And so, like, and it just ends up being like, where there's these violently racist white guys who come in and threaten all the black guys' thing. And he plays this, like, Van Peebles plays this, like, Mary Sue Superman cowboy who, like, he comes in and, like, they're like, where you been, man? You know, your dad was the mayor of this town, like, some black town they set up somewhere. And he's like, yeah, well, I've been out causing some trouble and stuff, you know, I'm not set out for this. And then he comes back later and, like, he ends up, like, killing every single, like, it's just one of those things where he's completely unstoppable. And
like Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven, where he basically kills all
those guys. It's not like that. That's
guys.
Awesome, because what they do in that is, like, if you hold it off and you have the guy, like, being reserved and like, I don't want to do this. You don't push it me more, into this.
More
and then at the
awesome.
Very end, he snaps and just kills a handful of people. That's great.
I don't
want
to do this.
But if it's
this,
like, this guy shows up and he shows up by killing a couple guys, yeah. and then later
if he's
on,
a badass at the beginning, then you're not going to like yeah, him. He's the Jack Ryan character.
And then, again, yeah, exactly. Right? He makes eyes at some hot chick. They end up rolling around the hay and you watch his ass for 5 minutes while they have sex. And then it cuts to him like, oh, I'm such a tortured hero.
Yeah,
what am
exactly.
I going to do? And then his buddy gets killed and he's like, that's it. And then he kills like 50 people, right? So that, it's just bad. He recently made one called Badass, which is about the making of Sweet Sweetback's Badass
which
song.
Is what his,
which is what his
dad
made.
Yeah.
And it was totally NC-17 and Bill Cosby was against it and all this stuff
wow.
back in the day. And that was like... And that was actually the Badass was supposed to be really good. Like he plays his dad,
mm-hmm.
and apparently like the portrayal was really good. Like you know,
interesting.
But other than that, Mario Van Peebles is a big hack.
But
some
at
of
the,
my favorite...
to Singleton, we've got Boys in the Hood. Did he do one called back to sort of a period piece? Didn't he do one called Rosewood?
Rosewood, yeah, which is about the massacre that happened where a bunch of white people burned down a black town in the 30s or something like that. That was a pretty good movie. I like that one. That actually was good. Ving Rhames and John Boyd.
That was the one where they didn't really have a script. They had a script. They didn't have a dialogue, really. They just basically got the actors together and said, okay, here's the scene.
Really? Do you get a sense that it's like a...
I don't remember. It's been a long time since
I watched a thing on it a long time ago, and they were like, okay, here's the scene. Here's what's going on. You know your character. What's your character going to say? How's your
improv.
Character going to act? Yeah, basically, they did the majority of it. They
Michael Ian Black should have been it.
Yeah,
he would have made that movie hilarious.
Wow, a rick a tick tick, huh?
Yep, Dr. Ian Black that showed up. My favorite Singleton film is Baby Boy, and it's probably the most insular. Like, it revolves around. Tyrese,
and he's not driving a motorcycle with Britney Spears on it.
No, he drives like a banana seat bicycle that's all pimped out, and he thinks he's awesome. And he's
but,
like,
so it's about Arrested Development essentially, and not the group with
Mr.
Wendell.
They're a movie, right? Right? You hear about that?
I heard, yeah, maybe, but it's a rumor, yeah, sort of. It's
not.
They say that
they're in talks.
Both, yeah, both. What's his name? The dad,
George Bluth,
Tambor,
Jeffrey Tambor,
and
Bateman.
Bateman, both completely independent of each other, both kind of said yes, it's in the works, so I don't know.
I don't think a feature film
is a good idea for that.
I
show.
Don't think so. I kind of feel like, it's a little tangential, but certain things get anticlimactic when you do that. The sense of Arrested Development for Baby Boy. He's
yeah,
driving
the
on
idea
a bike.
Is like, I mean, it's one of those things where the name of the movie is literally what the movie's about. It's mm-hmm. It's like his idea that the problem with black men is they're kids and they don't grow up and they never accept responsibility. It has this super
sounds like, kind of gets could be really preachy and like kind of
no,
heavy
it's not.
Handed.
It's not the thing. Is that like
the heaviest
higher,
handed
higher
thing
learning,
is that he's driving a bike.
Higher learning is preaching and heavy handed. That's all these characters explaining. Yeah. I do what I do because of race.
I
and
wanted
all stuff.
To be
then,
an engineer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then
anytime Michael Rapaport gets beat up and seems like an idiot, I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like at Copland, I'm there.
Yeah,
with Superboy just.
Piece of shit retard.
So, in Baby Boy, he's got this thing where, like, it's never the explained thing, but first of all, Tyrese is really good, Ving Rhames is really good, who's fantastic is Omar Gooding, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s brother. He's awesome, man. He's great.
From Wild and Crazy Kids.
Yes, he is awesome.
You guys remember Wild and Crazy Kids on Nickelodeon with Omar Gooding?
Yeah.
Is he related? He's related to...
He's his brother.
His
younger
his
brother.
Yeah. Full disclosure here, because I've been given... there's a new post,
hand job
a new poster on our we don't have forums, but on our blog, but it goes by the name of Blood Monkey, who seems to be wanting to dismantle the whole thing. I have not seen this film that he's talking about right now, Baby
Blood
Boy.
Monkey?
I've seen bits
Baby
of it.
Boy.
Okay. Have either of you seen it? So
wait,
okay.
Who's talking about Baby Boy? Him?
I'm talking about Baby Boy.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, are you
okay.
aware of
you,
what's
happened
in the last 10
minutes? Do you care if I give away what happens in the movie?
It's a black movie?
Yeah.
I'll probably never see
okay.
it.
Anyway, I'm interested in the discussion of the theme. Yeah. I have seen some of Singleton's works, and so I'm just
so,
giving full disclosure that I have not seen this film.
If you even watch something like
Zach
Boys
has.
In the Hood, Boys in the Hood is much more epic in scope than other movies about urban stuff, because generally it's something like Juice is fantastic, and it's about this group of four friends, and they're... how greed and fame and drugs and money pushes them into, like, not even barely the fame thing. Omar Epps is the main guy, and his name is Q, and he wants to be a DJ, and he kind of gets up in the ranks of DJing. And
Omar Epps is good in House.
Yes. I like him. And Tupac, meanwhile, just wants, like, the juices literally means, like, or did mean power back when that, like, slang changed.
Yeah,
every
like electricity.
And, yeah.
Power, energy.
And it was about the power you hold in the hood, because these people never get out. And that's what most of these movies is about. It's like, you can't get out, so they're stuck in this thing. And
you're going to be a master of your domain, yeah, or ruler in hell rather than
Boys in the Hood is really epic in that way, because it covers many people's storylines.
It's got the guy who needs to get an SAT score high enough, but he's an athlete, so he could get out in that respect, but he doesn't get the
score. And it's got vignettes. It's full of vignettes. Yeah. And Baby Boy is about this one guy who has two kids. Are he's 19 or 20, mm-hmm, and he's got two kids with two different women, and he's with the younger of his two kids. He still has an off and on relationship with her, this love hate thing.
You mean the younger wife, the kid, the wife
of his two kids,
not the wife, but the mother.
The younger of the two kids, and her ex, who was in prison back when he had when he knocked her up, who's the backstory. Ooh. Was Snoop Dogg.
Oh, wow.
And he's actually pretty good in this, too. Because, I don't know, because he doesn't look at the camera. I don't know. he's about as good as he could.
Snoop was good in Training Day.
Yeah, he was good in Training Day. Once again, because he couldn't move. He's in a wheelchair. And they probably told him, don't look at the camera. Just say the lines. David Mamet was there coaching him. Just say the lines. Don't
David
even
Mamet
act.
Didn't no. do Training Day.
That's just the David Mamet thing. Uh-huh. Don't try to put anything into the line. Just say it.
Yeah, just say it.
Don't act. Just say the line.
Just say the words.
That's the David Mamet. Mm-hmm. That's literally what he wants actors to do. Like,
we'll talk about Mamet here.
Yeah. He has a book that teaches people how to act. He's not an actor. He's a writer. He teaches people, this is how you should act. You memorize the line and you say it when the camera turns on.
Yeah. I think this is something a little more to it.
Yeah, there is.
The essential action is what defines it.
So anyway, it ends up being this thing where his world starts getting threatened, because suddenly
he's got to be a protector. Yeah, sort
and
of.
Well, not just that, he has to be a little bit of a protector, but he's a total, like, whiny baby about everything. And Ving Rhames starts hanging out with his mom and banging her, and he's really like,
wait, this sounds familiar.
He thinks he's the man of his mom's house. He lives with her. He thinks he's the man of the house.
I think I've seen this on TV.
Yeah,
but I didn't watch all of it.
Because of black people in it, right?
Yeah, I was like, mm-hmm.
And so Ving Rhames is this guy who got out of prison and has been hanging out with her now. And, like, they all, like, everyone has something to teach him about growing up, basically.
Yeah.
And it's really like the boy becomes a man story.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, those are usually like a 13-year-old. This is like a 20-year-old black male.
Yeah.
And it's his whole point is, like, it's literally like the development is completely arrested in black males because of what happens in society. Like, the only thing this guy does for money is he steals clothes and then he sells them on the street corner and stuff like that to women as they walk by. And he kind of smooth talks them into buying the clothes that he's stolen. And Omar Gooding kind of takes him under his wing. It's his buddy, and he, like, teaches him how to be hard, because, like, there's one part where these 3 14-year-old kids, like, he goes into the store and he comes out, one of them sitting on his bike that he got all pimped out, his bicycle, you know. And as he's trying to push the kid around, the other two come up behind him and they beat the crap out of him. These 14-year-old kids, and he's like, on the ground, like, he's not crying, but he's all messed up. And so later, like, Omar Gooding is like, what's wrong with you? You let these three little, you know, kids beat you up. And so,
now, what's Omar Gooding's, like, role? Is he like
he's the buddy who, like,
and, but is he like a good influence on him as a friend, or is he sort
he's
of
a bad? He's a bad person, but, like, okay, there's this really,
because he's like a criminal. Where, like, they show that he's like a drug pusher or something like that.
Well, I mean, to
why
give the movie
to
away,
to
give the movie away. No,
because
none of them are drug pushers.
Because he's telling him about how he's being hard.
Yeah, none of them are drug pushers, but he teaches him. He at one point he says, you have to get rough on these kids. And so they find the kids in the park, and because they're driving around Omar Gooding's girlfriend's car. And Tyrese goes, hey, those are the kids that took my bike and beat me up. and Omar Gooding's like, what? And so he stops the car, and they get out, and he has a gun. And he makes all the kids, like, they freak him out, and all the kids are like, all whimpering and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's aiming the gun at them. And he's like, we have to teach you, you youngsters some manners. And so one by one, he's like, all right, and they start, like, punching the kids out while they're standing there, and Tyrese does one. He's like, ah, and he hurts his hand, and he's like, now you're gonna do it like this, and he, like, teaches him how to, like, it's like this touching scene where he teaches him how to punch a kid. You know, like, but it's really good. It's like really poignant. And the last kid is just standing there all like strong. He doesn't look scared at all. And he goes, "Oh, this kid's got, he's got balls. So this kid's got respect." He goes, "I got mad respect for you, little homie." He goes, I'm not gonna punch you. And he starts walking away and he pulls his belt out. He goes, "I'm gonna beat your ass." And they pull his pants down. He's like smacking him. And like, but it ends up, it's like touching, you know? So, yeah, I guess so. So but touching. Anyway, it ends up being this thing where Snoop gets more and more angry that he comes back and he has to live with the girl because there's nowhere else we can live. And she's really upset that he's there. And
is he like a bad guy? Like, is he like a...
He is.
Like
he went away for like stealing cars or something, but his friends are all just gangsters, and he comes back and he's really upset that Tyrese is still in this girl's life. He's trying to get with her still. And she's like, "I don't want anything to do with you anymore." And he's like, "Come on, girl." So he gets all upset and he wants to... he basically wants to... Tyrese comes to the door and he tries to be all tough and stuff, and he walks out and follows him. He says, like, "You know, I'm gonna find you and mess you up." And he's like, "Whatever." So anyway, him and his friends do this drive-by.
And wait, his friends?
Snoop and his friends do this drive-by at Tyrese's house when him and Omar Gooding are there.
Is Rames there?
Ving Rhames isn't there at the time. He doesn't get along with Rhames. Rhames ends up knocking him out.
Does Rhames kind of become kind of, does he kind of fall off as a character in the story?
No, he ends up being a person who, like...
He seems like he'd be the one to show up and kick ass.
Well, he kicks Tyrese's ass. The whole point is, like, this guy doesn't have these external struggles that he needs to deal with. He does, but they all start with him and the black person and, you know, and the black youth in the hood or whatever. And people try to make good lives for themselves and... But it all comes down to, like, them being individually mature. Like, I guess his thing was that, like, enough people whine about their situation, like, there's
some external sources. When you say his thing, you mean, like, Singleton's like, theme for the film?
And,
or moral, if you will?
I just felt it was a really mature, and it was just really good storytelling, great direction. It just kind of went at its own pace, and it wasn't preachy, and it just this great story. And I don't know, I just love the acting in it. To give it away, so they try to do a.
Well, you don't. Maybe you don't even necessarily need to do that.
Never mind. Fine, I won't. I love giving things.
Because it's on here, the drive by. Do it.
So Snoop and his friends do a drive by on Tyrese and Omar Gooding, and you see Tyrese just get shot to hell.
Nice.
He gets just, you know.
So he's dead.
So he's laying there on the ground. Omar Gooding runs up to him and he's shaking him,
and he goes, "You can't die, not because I won't let you." Right?
No. And Tyrese looks down, and he hasn't been shot at all.
Not till
he basically dropped to the grass like a bitch, and like stayed there while they shot.
Wait, who got shot then?
Nobody. He imagined it happening.
So
the whole time, Omar Gooding pulled out his gun and was shooting at him. Like, he didn't care, you know. He was just shooting at him. And so then he goes, the point where he has a chance to, like, become a real man by Omar Gooding's standards is they see Snoop leave to somewhere in the middle of the night, and they chase him. They're wearing black clothes.
And
they
become a real man by shooting somebody in the back.
So they come up to him, and Snoop starts to run, and they shoot him in the leg, right? And so he's laying there, and he's like, "Do it. I don't care. I want to go to hell," like stuff like that, you know? So Tyrese decides...
Murder was the case that they gave him.
Tyrese decides he's not going to do it, because he decides, like, you know, his maturing process doesn't have anything to do with killing somebody.
Killing is wrong.
So Omar Gooding goes, "All right," and he kills Snoop, and then he's like, "All right, let's get out of here." And it's interesting, because everyone in the film around Tyrese has different ideas of how his maturity should happen. The girlfriend, the mother...
Ving Rhames.
Everyone. Well, Ving Rhames, he has the worst problems.
That seems odd to me, though. It seems like it's all kind of related. It's like, you need to be responsible and take care of these children. Boom.
Well, they all want different things from him. Like, their own idea of his maturity happens to do with...
The mom probably wants him to move out.
She does. And she wants him to stop trying to tell him, like, you know, tell her how to live. Like, she can't have a boyfriend. She can't smoke. She can't swear, even though he does all the time and stuff. But everyone's idea of his maturity around him has something to do with something that helps themselves out a little bit.
It's usually,
except for Ving Rhames, who just beats his ass and then gets upset because he has a really good scene. Tyrese and him argue, and he gets so angry that he punches out Tyrese, and then he starts hitting himself in the head. Ving Rhames does, and he's like, "Look what you made me do." He's like, "I can't believe you made me do this." He goes, "I don't want to be like this again." And he starts punching holes in the wall so he doesn't, like, kill Tyrese, basically.
Oh my gosh.
Because he was, like, a really violent criminal before he reformed himself in prison. And, like, he basically becomes, you know, he becomes friends with that guy, and it's got a great soundtrack. It's just a really like well shot, well made movie, and it was a lot of unlike other Singleton films because I honestly think most of his stuff is really preachy, and like,
well, let's see, we've got
black people should do the Higher Learning is awful.
Yeah, Higher Learning is pretty preachy.
I think Boys in the Hood is good. Is a little bit on the ham fisted side personally.
Maybe now, but I mean, when it was made, that kind of stuff that it was trying to say, I think maybe needed to be that more overt about it. You know,
one thing I think is hard for white critics and white people who watch these movies to say is to really let themselves feel that a movie made about urban stuff is not good, because any movie that comes out,
mm-hmm.
South Central, Juice, anything like that, is always universally acclaimed. Everyone's like, dude, this is great. This is a great
film. There's also like Spike Lee films like yeah. Do the Right Thing.
After a while, Spike Lee's stuff started falling off and critics decided they didn't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much of that is like, for instance, well, Roger Ebert has never met a movie he didn't like, except for
he didn't like North. Dead Poets Society.
Yeah. But you watch those critics, and every time an urban crime drama comes out, they're always like, this is a fantastic film, you must see it. And it's almost always the same story. It's almost always the same film. It's just a drama.
Well, you're talking, but that's because I think you're talking about sort of a genre. So that you are going to get a lot of similarities.
It is, but that's the thing. Is I wonder how much of it is like reverse racism. Like, because some white, middle-aged, middle-class critic almost has no business deciding whether or not this thing about this black lifestyle and something that's happened in these black people's lives has anything to do with themselves. Like, why should they decide that he's just smoking? Why should they decide whether or not, you know, they haven't lived this experience almost, you know, like
it's a tough,
well, that's
a tough
what black plan. People will say if they give it a bad review, they'll be like,
I understand that.
Understand.
But I think there's times when they give these movies more credit than they're worth.
I think that happens with more than just that genre, though.
It does.
I think
but,
that happens with if there's any British accents in it, a lot of times
that's
it gets,
true. But
it gets
I think,
sort of
but in that case, you can say a British accent movie is bad, and the British people aren't going to be like, you're racist.
Yeah.
You know, like it's different. I think because the race thing is still so volatile.
Yeah.
It's hard, and I'm not saying that a lot of those are bad, but I think a lot of Singleton stuff is really overrated.
Yeah.
But this is one of your favorite.
I liked Baby Boy. I liked Rosewood. I would give Boys in the Hood a B-, and everything else I think of his is really subpar, meaning Shaft.
What about Lee, Spike Lee's films? Like, I really like Do the Right Thing. I think, I mean, because
I don't like all the talking to the camera. I think he's really,
he doesn't do that in Do the Right Thing, though, does he?
They do it in the first one. What's the first one?
She's gotta have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I remember the thing I like.
It's
about,
almost like he's making the bohemian black movie. Like,
well, it's a New York movie.
Yeah,
it's about
style,
neighborhoods in New York.
His style is the bohemian film with, like, well-read, well-educated, smart, wise people. And then he puts it in whatever situation he wants to, like the hood or whatever. And it ends up, I don't really like his style that much. I really liked 25th Hour. I thought that was really good. But that's not a black film, so.
Has a white guy ever made a black movie? Is that allowed? I'm wondering. Just, like, seriously.
I don't know.
The Wire is primarily a black cast because it's about Baltimore. And I don't know if those two creators, David Simon and Ed Burns, one's a cop and one's a journalist, I think. I don't know what their race is.
Who directed? The pilot and stuff.
I don't know who directed the pilot, but I know they've had a variety of directors. But, yeah, I mean, that show is really well made. Been really good. I've watched the first three seasons of it. The first three seasons are very self-contained.
The Wire? It's a show?
Yeah, HBO show.
Oh, I know.
It's a cop show. It's, but some people say it's not a cop show. Yeah.
Is it?
That's what all the critics say.
A lot of
people. Ian likes to make fun of it.
But because, you know, it's good, but it's not, I don't know. It's tough to do that. I would just.
It's tough to make the greatest drama ever.
It's tough for something to just be the greatest ever.
One of the directors looks like The Wire has been directed by a whole bunch of no names, and then Ernest Dickerson directed 6 episodes throughout the course of it. He's the guy who did Devil in Blue Dress, and he was in his 30s when it came out, but it was like he won a chance through AFI to. You ever see that movie with Denzel Washington?
No, I haven't.
Based on the series of books by this black author about this black private detective in the 30s in L.A. And
detective story. Really good. Not enough really detective stories. It sounds like I should see it then, because I want to do one about detective stories at some point. We could do like 4 episodes about detectives. What has crossed my mind?
What do I do with all the aggression? Well, I'll try everything but suicide. But it's crossed my mind.
At the very end of Ghost of Mars, he does it really uncharacteristically, like not John Carpenter thing, which is he looks into the camera and goes, "Here we go again," and then walks off screen. Like, to one of these things.
To an iris?
No, I don't think it does that.